I was on this call yesterday with a group of executives from one of the 10 biggest companies in the world. And we're having this discussion around something that we're observing that they're not good at. And the reality is many of you, most of you, aren't good at it either. And it's why you would suck as a golf instructor or a piano teacher, or you could be way more effective as a leader. Let's dig into it.
Leadership is the ability to facilitate movement in others toward a destination you can describe. I'm Russ Hill. I help build leaders. And this is the Culture Hacks Podcast.
Make sure you don't miss an episode. Tap on the follow, plus, or subscribe button, and you'll get two new episodes each week. Thanks for listening to the Culture Hacks Podcast with Russ Hill.
I know what you're thinking. You're like, Russ, I don't want to be a piano instructor. I hated my piano teacher when I was 10 years old. Or you might be thinking, I don't even know how to play golf. What do you mean I'd suck as a golf instructor? Let me explain here in just a minute. Welcome into the Culture Hacks Podcast. I'm Russ Hill. I make my living coaching and consulting senior executive teams of some of the world's most amazing and exciting and awesome companies we love, who we get a chance to work with. It's so diverse. Like, this team's making, like, it's just unbelievable. And I just have to remind myself all the time to not take it for granted, to realize how unique an opportunity it is. And you can find out more about our firm at LoneRockConsulting.com. And oh man, am I excited about what we're doing with Lead in 30 and what's coming in first quarter of 2024. If you're listening to this after that, then you'll skip ahead a bunch of episodes and I'll be able to talk to you about it in real time. But just tons and tons of stuff. So, this is my corner of the virtual world where I get a chance to just kind of do an audio journal and share observations, best practices, unlocks, lessons, wisdom, experiences that I'm unlocking or gaining access to because of the leadership lab that I make my living working in. It's not that I'm the world's expert on leadership. I just get to spend all of my time working with leaders and studying leadership and thinking about leadership and working on trying to help people become more effective. And so this gives me a chance to share some of that. So we're on this call and maybe eight executives are in this Zoom meeting. And we had a meeting with this group of executives, a healthcare company, massive, massive healthcare company that all of you would recognize. Well, most of you, depending, there are probably some international folks listening that wouldn't know the name of this company, but certainly everybody in most people in the U.S. and a lot of folks around the world would know the name of this company. And so we had a meeting with them, with the same group of leaders, maybe 2 months ago, and we did a virtual meeting, and they're reporting out on a particular topic. And they asked us, this is an organization we've worked with for a lot of years, and they asked us, the executive oversees this leadership team, asked us to be present and observe this virtual meeting. It's a wonderful thing, man. The pandemic sucked, but the way it accelerated the ability to connect virtually is just a massive gift from that crap storm that we experienced that none of us want to go through again. So we can dial into this meeting. We don't have to get on a plane, nothing. Like there's like, we just log in. It's beautiful. So we're observing. This is like an hour and a half, maybe 2 hour. I don't remember how long the meeting was. And we're listening. A team from our firm is listening to these leaders and they're reporting out and they're having this topic. And so the meeting had to end rather abruptly because we're up against the clock. And so finally, after all this time, we've been able to reconnect with this leadership team and share some observations and some coaching around what we observed, what we saw, the way that they are leading, the way that they're talking to each other in these meetings. And it's what we shared with them that we said, hey, you know, you could use some more emphasis in this area. You might want to consider strengthening your skills in this space is what I want to share with you. Because my belief, based on tons of experience, is that most of you, whoever you are, because I can't see you, you just got AirPods in, or you're listening somewhere, doing something at some moment right now in the world, and so I can't see your faces, but I just know that most people aren't good at this, because I didn't even realize that this was like a need until I started doing what I do for a living. And then it became obvious, especially in large organizations. And so to set this up, let me talk about a golf instructor. Some of you play golf. Some of you have never even held a golf club. That's okay. I'll go into piano lessons in a minute. It's the same concept. Or it could be anything, guitar lessons. It could be a million different things, acting, dancing. I just don't have any experience in those spaces, but I'm sure the same principle, or sports, right? Somebody who's coaching you from a sports standpoint. I got no athletic genes in my body, and so I can't relate to that. But so let's use the golf analogy, and if there's one that's more applicable to you, you just substitute whatever that sport or skill or thing is, and the principle will apply. So golf instructor. First time I got a golf instructor. Have I told you this story? So I'm working. This is when I'm in my 20s, mid-20s. I'm working in the media industry, and I've got a leader who's an amazing mentor, Chris, who I've talked about. Just unbelievable. And one of the things that Chris said to me, and she was an executive in our organization who was just really awesome and exceptionally skilled at mentoring leaders and passionate around what she did. I just loved. No leader's perfect. I'm not, you're not, whatever. And Chris wasn't either. And we all have things that we're working on. She was just gifted in mentoring and in so many different ways. And so one of the things that Chris said to me as a young leader, she's like, Russ, you need to take golf seriously. Like, I have missed out on opportunities in my career in the industry we were working in because I didn't take it seriously. And as a young executive, I didn't learn to golf, and I would have been part of more business deals and conversations. And you can judge that all day long, whether that's right, wrong, or whatever. I don't know if it's that way today as much or not. It might be true in your industry. It may be completely not applicable to you. Anyway, that was the conversation. So what did Chris do? Because this is the type of leader she was. She said, we're going to pay for you to get golf instruction. So every once a week, Russ, I want you in the middle of the day. Just think about this now. Think about what this did to my level of loyalty to her as a leader, to the company I worked for. Just think about all of that, okay? Like, I'm not even going to get into all of that. But she said, we're going to pay, the company's going to pay for you to go to either that, or she just thought I sucked so bad it was going to embarrass the company. Probably all that's true. So she was saving the company, right? It was selfish. No, that's true, but that I would have embarrassed the company. But she did it. It was good motives on her part. So she paid, and I had permission to like leave. Well, this is before we like worked from home. Like, I had an op, right? And just unbelievable. So I met with a golf pro, and the company paid for it. I expensed it. And I'd go, and by the way, how expensive is that in the grand scheme? Like, nothing. Like, hardly anything. But for me, a 25, 26, whatever I was at the time, like, that, the gesture was just, I would have never paid for that out of our own budgets. We're scraping by, trying to, you know, having kids that are on the way and whatever. And yeah, that just wasn't where we would have put our money that we were trying to make ends meet at that age. And so just, it was meaningful to me. So I go meet with the golf instructor. Maybe you've been through this, or think piano, or think soccer, think whatever. And the golf instructor looks at me. I'm a miserable golfer. I don't know what I'm doing. Like, I've played some rounds, but so much that I need to do to improve. And do you know what he said to me? He said, Russ, I've got two things I want you to work on. What? Two? Do you think he saw only two? No. No way in the world did he see two things that were wrong with my golf game. He had to have seen like 80, okay, and on the conservative side, 20 things in my stance, the way I was holding the club, the equipment that I had, my all of these things. And think about it as it relates to whatever you're considering or whatever you've got experience, piano instructor, the way you're sitting on the piano bench, the way where your fingers are positioned, how you're holding your fingers, what I mean, all of these things that a skilled piano instructor is seeing, the way you're look, how much you're looking up at the music versus looking down at your hands, all of these things. And so think about whatever example, and these instructors who are really good, what do? They take the complex and make it simple. They zero you in and prioritize. They're able to not say, okay, Russ, well, thank you for swinging the golf club a little bit. Here's what I need to tell you. You've got a massive amount of things that are wrong with your golf game. Like, it's really actually quite incredible, Russ, how many things you need to fix. And how many things are wrong with it? And I've got this list. In fact, I've just typed it up on my phone, or I've written it down on this notepad. Here is the list of 40 things that you suck at, or you need to work on, or that I'm looking at. No. Two. So what I want you to do, Russ, is, okay, stand back up there by the golf ball, and adjust your grip on the club this way. And then I want you to lean back, like one other thing, right? Stance and probably grip. I don't remember exactly what they were, but there were two. I just remembered that there were two. And then, and so that's what I want you to do. And so do those two things. And oh, did you see how you were able to? And they're celebrating the fact that instead of hitting the ball 4 yards, I hit it 10. What's the goal? 150. But they're not saying, okay, oh crap, yeah, you went from 4 yards to 10 yards. That sucks. You ought to be able to hit with that 7 iron 100 yards or whatever it is, right? You ought to be able to, no. They're celebrating, like, awesome, Russ. Did you see the way you connected with that ball? The piano instructor, that was amazing. The way you played Twinkle, Twinkle, Little Star. By the way, guess what the next piano student's working on? Beethoven's whatever. Something 80 million times harder than what you're working on. You ever been to a piano recital? And the first student gets up and it's like some four-year-old and they get up and they hit like they're using one finger and they play like four notes and the song's over and everybody erupts in applause and their parents and grandparents are like recording the whole thing and you're sitting back there as somebody who's older going, seriously? That wasn't that good. But the piano instructor's like so excited, and the parents are. And then the next student gets up and they play a song that's 20 seconds long. And then the next student gets up and they play something better. And then the next student gets up and doesn't even have any sheet music. And that piano instructor knows to meet you where you are. They know to simplify and get you to focus on just a few things. So what is the skill that I was talking about, we were talking about with these executives? You guys are doing a lousy job. We didn't say it that way. And they aren't doing lousy. You could do better is a better way of saying it. You would be more effective if you would take the complex and make it simple. So in the meeting we had with you, my brain, the human brain, could only process like two or three things. You lose me and everybody in the room when you put up that slide with 50 things on it or 10 things, or you go, hey, here are the results that we're going to try to achieve next year. And you go through category number one and you're ticking off this and you're talking off that. Or we'll see executives in big companies get up and they'll be like, all right, our vision for next year is this and our purpose is this and our mission is this and our strategy is this. And you think that the audience is tracking with you? You lost them after vision. Like, they're lost. Because you would never, a piano instructor, a golf instructor, whatever, would never do that. It's two. It's three. We always say three. And that's what the human brain can handle. And so what would have made these executives appear more effective and stronger and help them scale their career is instead of putting up and sharing in that Zoom meeting an Excel spreadsheet with 40 lines and then saying, yeah, and they're feeling proud because they took their 40 things in there that they're measuring or that are priorities, and they only mentioned in their 3 or 4 minutes each that they were reporting out, they only mentioned like 10. They left out 30. And they're thinking I'm tracking, but then they go for like 5 minutes or 7 minutes and they're, yeah, this and that and that. And I mean, I'm lost and my brain has disengaged. It's happening to your team too. It's happening when you speak because you just dribble on and drone on. And I don't even know what you're saying or what your point was or where you're going. And this is an area that I'm passionate about, right? And I've spent a lot of time in my lifetime studying it, communication. But it's such a key part of leadership and of keeping an audience engaged and in helping people connect with what you're saying. There are 80 million things I want to talk about in this episode. I'm talking about one. I'm sharing examples about it. I'm giving you stories. I'm giving you different things to keep you engaged, to help you visualize the concept that I'm speaking, which is help your team focus and prioritize on just a few things. Drop the list of 20. Go to the list of 3. When you're talking in the meeting this afternoon, it's just 2 things. It's 1. It's when you're going to speak up and come off of mute, be focused in what you say. Otherwise, you've lost me. You with me? And so the key leadership skill that's on my mind in this episode that I want to get you thinking about is, are you droning on? Is your list of 50 million things, are you focused when you speak to your team or anyone about anything? And are you losing them? And that leaders who skill, how do you get a leader? In fact, I made this point in this meeting with these leaders the other day. Like, you think about a CEO. A CEO is leading an organization of, let's just say they've got 100,000 employees. Or maybe it's half that size, 50,000. Massive organization, right? By any measurement. Just one of the larger companies in the world. How does that CEO walk into a meeting and talk about anything in less than 4 hours? And how do they share, if they're effective, they do this? How do they put on a meeting agenda like 2 things or 3 things? How? There are a million things on their minds. There are so many things that they're considering. I think about this all the time in the church that we're part of. And you have the leader, we call it the prophet, the president of the church, they get up and they speak to the worldwide audience, right? So some video event that's broadcast around the world. It's available on the internet and they're speaking and they pick one topic. Hey, I want to talk to you today about this thing. And I'm thinking, how in the world? Like, there are 80 million things on your mind. There are so many fires burning right now. There are so many problems you're aware of. There's so much weight on your shoulder. There's so many things that are broken and that you're trying to fix and priorities that are going through your mind and subcommittees and all of these things that are happening. And you're able to get up and speak and talk about one topic? It's not the only topic on that person's mind, but they understand the value of focusing. Of like the piano or golf instructor is saying, 2 things I want you to think about. That helps you scale your ability to lead. That helps you appear stronger when you're able to communicate in that way. And you're able to listen to all of these things in a meeting and walk away and say, here are the 2 things I want us to focus on. Yeah, the spreadsheet shows 40, but out of those 40, it's these 2. And just go work on those for a while. And it's not that you're not tracking the other things or they aren't important, but you've got to channel the energy, channel the focus, help your team prioritize a couple of things. And they can't do 20. They can't do 20 things, but they can do 2. Make sense? I'll talk to you in the next episode of the Culture Hacks podcast.
Who do you know that could benefit from listening to this episode? Tap on the share button and text the link to a friend or colleague. Or write a post on LinkedIn and tag Russ. Thanks for listening to the Culture Hacks Podcast with Russ Hill.